This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are a fool. It is one at bat against one of the game's best closers. I'd rather Soto strike out than pass the baton to Pete Alonso. The only issue I have with Soto is those comments you just heard CeeLo play right there. I could have taken a walk. No. You got exactly what you wanted. The $765 million man up there with a chance to tie the game, do some damage, give the Mets the lead. He didn't get it done. I, though, BT, was sitting there watching with a smile, knowing that more often than not, he is going to come through. So the texts from Yankee fans, the comments from Yankee fans, or even Met fans getting upset on day one is absurd to me about Juan Soto.
A lot of people jumped in. You knew they would. This was the story. Listen, I'll tell you this. If the Mets have a chance beginning tonight with men on and Soto at home plate, you'd sign up for that script basically for the next 162 games. You really would. Now, from our perspective, I didn't want to see him rip a gappers. No way. I didn't jump into the nonsense on social. I don't care. I didn't text you about it. I didn't text Hoff. I don't care. He's a Met. He's a great player. Mets had a rough game in some other spots. But the Soto reaction, while I can't say that I'm surprised because of the emotion that it's been a 3-4 month ride with both sides of town. Juan Soto's a beast, and he's the least of their concerns.
Yeah, it's funny, though. Like, I could understand, like, Yankee fan friends poking fun or whatever, things like that, but there is a sense of, first of all, if you're a Yankee fan yesterday and you're worried about Juan Soto, what he does, and talking trash, you just aren't. You're acting like the Met fan used to act. That's a little brother type move. But forget that, because I don't even want to get caught up in that nonsense. It's just about Juan Soto. And from my perspective, as a Met fan who's wanted Juan Soto, I have never been this excited for a player. Mike Piazza was close. This is a different animal. And sitting there, instead of wondering what this player was going to do in a big spot or how he was going to look in this big spot, we all know that there's no doubt about what Juan Soto could do in the biggest of spots in New York. That's all been proven. So it was more sit back and enjoy the ride. Obviously, disappointment that he didn't get the job done right out of the gate. Think of the dramatics. I'd rather him do it in October than in March. And I know he will do it in October. And even more motivated after he gets beat by that. But if there's a Met fan out there, and I know that there are some, oh, Soto, like the overreaction. If you're looking for me to say that, you're not getting that from me. I love Juan Soto. I love everything about him. The guy was on base 3 out of 5 times yesterday. Even in the at-bat that Hader did get him, he still had a good at-bat. It was a nasty pitch. You tip your cap. You move on. You try to go get a win tonight. But I don't think you could be more excited for an individual to be on your team than Juan Soto. And the number one reason for me, we talk about the sackometer. We've done that before. Mm-hmm. There's not a player in the sport that I would rather have, and I know you and I disagree with this, whether it's Judge, Ohtani, whatever, there is not a player in the sport that I would rather have than Juan Soto because of the intangibles, because of the sack that Soto possesses.
He's got a little elephantitis. no, it's sack Dre. It's Dre. You know what he's, I get it. I understand. I just want to make sure I had this clear. I saw some stuff on social media. Now, forget about the Yankee fan jumping in, all right? Are you telling me that there's actually a fair amount of Met fans? I don't mean expressing disappointment. I mean, that's a given. First game, guys on base, chance to do something, strike out. Oh, and you can tell by his body language. I watched his post-game reaction, too. He's so badly, that's why he expanded the zone. He so badly wanted to deliver. I get it, came up a little short there. He's Juan Soto. That's not going to happen much. But are there really, I guess what I'm trying to say, there's a difference between being disappointed
right.
and crushing Juan Soto.
Right, which I am, by the way, is disappointed in the results.
Of course.
Obviously.
Are people actually crushing Juan Soto? Have we already gotten to the point where people are wondering if he's worth the money? No. The investment? Is the stage too big? Yeah, can he do this without Judge behind him? Is he really this good? After one at bat? Yeah. There's no way.
Look, I'm not reading the social media comments. Ugh. I heard Evan get upset about it on his podcast. You heard Boomer talking about the needle mover thing. And I'm sure that there are fans out there that were disappointed with that and saying, oh, but you're expecting the guy to get it done every single time, or at least in every big spot.
Not in baseball. That's not how it works in baseball.
He didn't do it with the Yankees every single time, but he will do it more often than not, and he will do it in the biggest of spots, in that particular spot. And by the way, you mentioned something there that I think is important. I would rather... See, maybe it'd be a different story today if Soto walked and passed it to Alonso. Then we'd be ripping Alonso, and I would be telling Soto, bro, swing the bat. I would rather them lose the game with Soto swinging than have them pass the baton to Alonso and lose the game. Now, I would have liked the drama of seeing Pete up in that spot, seeing what he could do. Mm-hmm. But the feeling that I have watching Soto versus what I would have had, It's two totally different things.
It's a different level.
Yeah, I expect Soto to get the job done. With Pete, I'm curious to see how he's going to respond.
Yep, I get it, Bob. I get it. I think Pete's going to have a good year. You know, the offense for the Mets, and there are a lot of things to unplug from yesterday, and we'll unplug it all. We'll do the Yankees later as well. You know, the defense, a little shoddy. Obviously, the starting pitching didn't get the job done. Looking at the lower third of the lineup and some of the names, I'm like, I know Alvarez is hurt, but I don't love the lower third. I do think that there's things you can take away from the game and say, all right, how will this manifest itself during the season, positively or negatively? But to fix it, I don't want to say to fixate on Soto's wrong,
right.
Because it's Juan Soto. He is a needle mover, Booms. I'm sorry. Yeah. I love you, Boomer. But, yeah, he moves the needle. So I get why we're talking about Soto. But to think that Juan Soto will be a problem for the Mets this year is one of the dumbest things I could possibly hear.
Well, I don't think anybody thinks that he's going to be a problem. I just think that people...
Well, however they frame it.
Yeah, get
coming
upset
up small, you know, not clutch because he's a Met or there's no Judge or there's no... that. Are you kidding me? I mean, this guy is a technician. This guy is a surgeon. Memo to everybody. Baseball's tough. Memo to everybody else. Baseball's even tougher when you got haters snapping off that 93-mile-per-hour slider that bends a foot and a half out of the zone. It ain't easy. And by the way, their starting pitcher as a lefty is one of the best in the game. So I didn't like the way the Mets looked in totality. Juan Soto, I mean, he's going to be amazing this year. Let's not be nuts here.
And he's a Met. So Yankee fans, I think, need to get over it. I'm talking to you, Uncle John, Taco Frank. These are all the texts I'm getting yesterday after one game. I
you do welcome some of these texts, though. You understand. You know, your people want to see you get a piece of Sal. Stuff out.
Well,
I don't know.
Because I said I wanted Soto, I stand by it. I still want Soto. And it just proves the point. Yankee fans are upset that they don't have him. So the one spot...
I'm good.
I'm not saying you. And maybe not even the majority. Yankees had a great day, like you said. We'll get to that. But there are still some that are clearly still hurt by this.
That's true.
Because it's ha-ha, Soto. I guess he didn't get the job done. What an opening day. What a finish.
That's true.
And I know I'm not alone. Evan was getting a bunch of texts from it, too. So the Yankee fan chirping on one at-bat from Juan Soto. I'll take Soto over anybody in the sport. Didn't get it done yesterday. Long way to go. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Stan is in Westport, Connecticut. What's up, Stan?
Hey, guys. You hit on a lot of good points. Listen, in baseball, you're one of the greatest of all time when you fail 70% of the time at the plate, right? So, of course, it happens. You know, Soto took responsibility. I got to give him kudos for that. So did Holmes. But to me, the moment of the day was Brett Beatty. They caught him in the dugout on the top step, clapping and egging on, you know, his rival, effectively, for playing time, Acuna, when he was at the plate, and totally loved it, the fact that he drew a walk. I mean, I thought that was an awesome moment, shows what a team means and a teammate is, and I call on Steve Cohen to hit the kid with a bonus just for that.
Oh, come on,
that was amazing.
Let's not spend some more money here from Steve Cohen, and thank you for the call. Acuna did have a great at-bat. You know, the Mets showed some fight, picked up where they left off last year. For the majority of the game, they looked lifeless and couldn't score any runs. Pitching obviously wasn't good. Defense, you mentioned. mentioned, we could break all that down. We did want to start with Soto, but then they had that ninth inning and the rallies and the good at-bats. And
yeah, the at-bats got better. And that's going to be, I think that's like residually, that's going to be passed on to the team. Maybe not every night. I think it's going to eventually help Pete. I think it's going to help all the young players. Now, I do think it's interesting. Yeah, and again, I don't want to just make it, but yeah. If you have Judge behind you, are you a little less willing to expand the zone? Did he expand the zone because he wanted to be his first Met moment? I don't know the answer to that.
I hope that was the answer. I don't believe that it was. I think Soto was he just got beat by a nasty pitch.
Yeah.
He said it himself, hey, Pete's a good power, and I got him behind me. I don't think that had anything to do with that. I think it's a fair thing to bring up. We could certainly question it. I didn't look at that. Now, was it the pitch before? In the at-bat, he could have had ball four, but he swung at a high pitch. I want that. That's what I want. You're paying this guy $765 million not to sit there and walk and pass the baton, especially to Alonso. So I'd rather that be the case. I don't think it was, because I'm going to take him at his word saying that I could have taken a walk there and passed it to Pete. Time will tell. There are going to be spots, BT, like that,
yeah,
that he is going to walk, and then it's going to be on Pete Alonso to show what he's got.
I know. And listen, of the players on the Mets right now, Pete's got more, you know, obviously Soto, the contract. Pete's got more to prove than anybody.
Right.
He really does. For a lot of reasons.
Vientos, Nimmo in the category as well. We'll get to those guys.
I'm not saying there aren't others, but for me, Pete's first.
BT and Sal, the fan. Gio is in New Brunswick. What's up, Gio?
Hey, bud.
What's going on, man? What's happy up, for this day. Juan Soto, does he pass the baton, just like you just said, if Judge is behind him?
Don't know. I think it depends. I don't think, thanks for the call, I don't think that Soto, I don't mean for a game or an at-bat, is going to deviate very much from who he is and what he does. He's a surgeon. He's a thinker, and he's a hitting savant. And when you've got those attributes, and of course they mesh and they marry with the pure physical attributes, you're not going to suddenly morph into something that you've never been. Maybe there's a little extra energy, you know, hey, wants to have that big moment, I get it. He's still a human being. Now, sometimes he seems like he's not, but he's so robotic in his approach, which is amazing. He's a human. But if you just tuned in, listen, if I'm a Met fan, and there were other things that I think you could worry about, which we'll hit on more as we get deeper into the show, I would sign, literally, if I was presented a contract, the next 161 games, the exact situation presents itself. Maybe not with Hader on the mound, but with the relief pitcher, Mets with a chance to do damage, and Soto in the box. Give me that every single night.
Even with Hader on the mound, I'll tell you, I just sat there and was enjoying the heck out of it. Not the result that we wanted as Met fans, but I was smiling ear to ear. I was as confident as most of the time in my fandom, in a spot like that, it's, here we go. Outside of maybe Piazza, who generally came through in the biggest of moments. But again, you're going back, you know, over 20 years ago, 25 years. But even then, and it was rare that he would come up, and then he came up in plenty of big spots and delivered. But this is just different. And I don't recall sitting there watching a game, smiling, saying, he's got you, Hader, you're toast, Soto's going to get you. If you go on the sackometer, whatever you want to say to clean up, like Soto's number one in baseball. And that to me is why I love him so much and know that even though it didn't get done in this particular spot, it's going to happen more often than not. And even losing that battle, he wears it. To your point, BT, that bothered Soto.
Takes it personally.
He wanted to get it done.
Yep.
And the fact that he wasn't looking to pass the baton and be happy with a walk, I'd rather him, especially in the first game, you know what? I'm going to get acclimated to this fan base. I'm going to be the one to do some damage here.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an egregious at-bat where he was reaching and flailing. Even his at-bats, if he is expanding a little bit, it's still not looking like, wow, he was pressing there. It was a great pitch by one of the nastier relievers, lefty on lefty. Of all the spots that Soto might get beat in, that was the one.
I don't know that every great lefty is going to lay off that pitch, but I know that there's not a great lefty who's going to hit that pitch.
Right.
Like, so if you make the decision to swing as a lefty, you might maybe flick, which is we've seen him do in the playoffs, maybe flick something foul. If you're lucky, you're not squaring that baseball up. And it's funny, too, you talk about that feeling, right? That I, as a Yankee fan, I watched Soto 1 year.
Right.
I watched his entire career. I watched him as a guy on my team for 1 year, and I wish that I could say something different than what I'm about to say, and hopefully it does change. But Aaron Judge would come up in the postseason, and I would have the emotions that you had with others, except really outside of Piazza. And I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Don't know, right?
Is he good? Come on. Come on. And just be Aaron Judge. And he's yet to be Aaron Judge in October consistently. Whereas conversely, you had Soto walking up there. I'm like, we're good.
He's always going to be Juan Soto.
It's a different set of emotions and confidence.
Right.
For now.
Because he's not going to get it done every time. He didn't with the Yankees.
Nobody does.
Correct. That's the point. But he's always Juan Soto. He's always the same player. You're always going to get a great at-bat, win or lose, succeed or fail on that at-bat. You know what you're getting. The bigger the moment, the environment, the city, the ballpark, the pitcher, lefty, righty, doesn't matter. You're always getting Soto. That's a confidence that I've never felt before watching.
Let me give an example, one that we both went through a lot. We love him, the big fella. You know, yeah. Patrick goes to the foul line late in the game back in the day. Did you feel great that he was going to knock him down? I didn't from the foul line.
Right.
You know, whereas you watch like a Kobe or an MJ or a guy like Steph Curry, you're like, that's two. Let's keep him moving. He's going to hit them both. Like, there's just that uber level of confidence. And then there's confidence meshed with hope. And right now, you know, for Juan Soto, there's uber confidence. It's a tough look for one game. It's one game.
Which is why I am not letting the loss get in the way of my excitement and feeling. You have had players as a Yankee fan. I don't know if I want to say similar to this because he's a different animal. Obviously, you had him last year, but Judge being a superstar, all the success in the 90s, Jeter, all those guys.
Yep.
Jeter may be a good one, too.
Yeah, he is a good one.
A good example, feeling that whenever he's up, especially in a big spot, he's going to get the job.
Mariano coming out of the pen. It's over.
Exactly.
There's no doubt.
For the Mets to have this guy in the prime of his career, oh, nothing can ruin it. It sucked to lose the game. Sucked that he didn't come through. It would have been great fun and a great storyline. Nice, you know, bookend to the offseason and opening day. But nothing will ruin my enjoyment because Juan Soto is a New York Met. JJ's in Bricktown.
Soto.
Yeah. Go ahead, JJ.
What up, buddy? JJ.
What's up, JJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? Sal.
Yeah.
I just really want to know, if he was on the Yankees yesterday and that happened, what would you be saying to that?
I think the same exact thing. Why wouldn't I? I never criticized Soto at all with the Yankees outside of early on, JJ, and thank you for the call, when he walked in a big spot. And I'm saying that you want to get paid $500 million at the time, whatever it was. Yeah, I want to see you swing, especially with the Mets. At least with the Yankees, it's okay, well, Judge is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want anybody looking for a walk. And remember, that might have been the first week or 2 weeks into the season, so we were still learning about Soto watching him every single day.
Yep.
Whereas if you have the mindset of a player where, oh, I'm just going to be happy to take my walk and not worry about coming through in a big spot, that's not him. I would have an issue with that. He certainly proved to be much more than that with the Yankees all year.
There's no doubt. The only thing, and concern is too strong, I'll keep an eye on it. I don't even think it remotely approaches this situation, but like, if the Mets get off to a rough start as a team and Soto gets off to a rough start as a Met, you know, I can't quantify what he might feel internally to elevate the situation, which to me is the only thing that could get him to deviate from his process, which is, again, surgical.
And you also think that that's very unlikely, which is
I do.
Also
I think the Mets could have some team struggles.
That's
I don't
different.
Think that he's going to deviate too far from what he does.
And that's the point. Think about it. When was the last time you could say in this town that you get a player? Well, we've heard it before with the Yankees. He's the surest bet in the sport. And the Mets haven't had that. All these other guys, any big name free agent or big acquisition that they have gotten over the years, there was always the learn. Even Piazza,
mm-hmm.
Beltran, those are the best of guys. Lindor, there's always that New York learning curve, getting acclimated, a little rough start.
Think about A-Rod for the first couple of years. I mean, he could get a big hit.
Juan Soto's the one guy who I don't even question. No learning curve. You know what you're going to get. Unfortunately, he got beat in a big spot. It won't happen often if it happens again. BT and Sal on the Fan will continue the conversation. We're working the Yankees. Well, point of the take from opening day. How great is this? We get to react to two ball games.
Yeah, it's nice.
From yesterday, so we'll have some fun breaking those down along the way. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. You said that you did not text me yesterday. You laid away from that. You stayed away. There was no ha-ha. There was no Soto. No chops being busted yesterday. I have to ask, was it because you were being nice and didn't want to start that early? Was it because you just know that it's not a big deal with game one? Or Was it because your left hand is not really usable right now?
Oh, God, what a day, dude. I mean, I don't know what the hell happened to me yesterday.
Well, what did happen?
Well, first of all, I thought I broke my wrist or my thumb. And
well, like high-fiving Marash at the Yankee Stadium suite?
I mean, that did happen, but I didn't do it hard. Dude, it's not the World Series. I mean, I gave a little fist
bump. Especially you, the first one, you let out a nice little scream.
I let a little scream out. I looked at you. I remember, and I just saw Blake stare. You were exactly jumping in.
You're like, my God,
it
was. And I go, yeah, I took his over. That's
I know
right.
I know you did. I know. So I was pumped up with that. And then, you know, a couple of salespeople, some clients. Had a great time at the suite, by the way. Aaron Boone came through, Andy Pettit. If you guys missed it, free Odyssey app. It was awesome. Great day at the stadium. We'll do, you know, more Yankees later, obviously, from the game. But about an hour after the show, I'm like, what is wrong with my hand? I actually thought that I broke my hand to the point. Now, unfortunately, because I've had a million issues, I've got a high threshold for pain.
Right.
Tommy John surgery, another elbow surgery, my shoulder impingement, torn Achilles, double hernia. I mean, I've had back issues. I've had everything, man. And I just usually, I'm a grind through it kind of guy.
Right.
So finally, I'm like, I got to get out of here. And I could not open the door to my car. What am I going to do? I called the St. John's trainer. He's like, sometimes things just float away from bone without like a blunt trauma, so it could be broken. I'm like, okay, if it was a little teeny tiny, but would it hurt this much? He's like, yeah. Anyway, I go, I get the x-ray. They're like, it's clean. It's gout.
And you got a bandage up there. It looks like my grandma used to have one of those bandages on
you
there.
Better
on
be careful because it also looks like a boxing hand the way it's, you know, the way you tape up the hand. So be careful. Dude, I feel like a grandma. I really do. I could not drive. And then some idiot getting out of the parking lot, right, decides to stop short. And it, like, I'm not over embellishing this. I felt like crying. Like, I could barely drive. So I'm driving, and I'm a one-hand driver anyway, but this hand's doing nothing, right? So this moron who brought texting, wasn't paying attention, he stopped short unnecessarily, and now I jam the brakes really hard, and my left hand smashes the steering wheel, and then I punch the steering wheel with my other hand. I'm like, just get me home, because I really thought it was broken bone. I'm not thinking gout. No disrespect. When I'm thinking gout, I'm thinking fat slob.
Right.
I am.
Right.
I'm thinking, you know, I don't know. I just, oh, gout, you drink too much, you eat like a slob. I mean, I'm not saying I'm Adonis here looking like Tiki, but I'm not in terrible shape. It's gout.
When I think gout, I think Adam Sandler turkey song where he says, got a bad case of the gout, something like that. All right, Charlie is in Bethpage, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the fan. Charlie, what's on your
mind? Charlie, hold on. And by the way, really, I'm saving those texts for when the Mets lose a couple of games in a row.
I got you. You didn't want to fire those bullets right out of the gate. Yeah, all right. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Charles.
Hey, boys. Good morning. Great job yesterday at Yankee Stadium. Mets fans, chill out. My God. Juan Soto, we get the best hitter in baseball. We got 161 games, and we're going to get a lot of good at-bat from him. I'm going to enjoy every at-bat and watching him in a Met uniform for a lot of years. You know what? He went up there. I think a little pressure on him, but you know what? I wanted the Hollywood script and the home run. Didn't work out this time. We're going to get more home runs and more excitement from him down the road, and that people have to just chill out. We get the best hitter in baseball, and I'm going to enjoy the year. I'm not going to flip out like last year.
There's no need to.
Right, that's how it should be, Charlie. Take it easy, and thank you for the call. This is a new era. Now, doesn't mean you can't go nuts, because I was thinking a lot about this, too, after the game and then, you know, coming in this morning. There are things that are going to be criticized with this Mets team, whether it is the starting rotation, which we could get to today, whether it is the guys behind Soto in that lineup, just one thing, or the results. We'll see what happens throughout the course of the season. The one thing for me that I just feel like I won't criticize, at least, I mean, a lot would have to happen and a lot would have to go wrong, would be Juan Soto. He is, to me, the thing that I've wanted the most. And I can't even blame the Mets for, you know, they put the team together that I wanted. So now it's more on the players to get the job done individually based. And we got to see what's gonna happen here. But Juan Soto would be the least. He will be literally the last guy that I will criticize on this Mets team.
Juan Soto's pretty much about as much of a given as you can have in baseball. Now, is there, and this is a season-long story, is there a slight diminishment in his numbers this year? I've said I thought there would be, not because of yesterday, but because there's no Judge and it's a different ballpark, whatever, even though he's not a pull-happy guy. I think his at-bats will always be quality. I think he's terrific. I don't think he's going to quite do what he did a year ago, which will be fine enough for the Mets to win a lot of games, provided their defense is buttoned up, which it wasn't, provided they get better starting pitching, which they didn't, provided that the lower third of the order does something, which it didn't. It is, see, this is not football where after the first game or the second game, it just, which is a larger percentage of the season, could be 25%, whatever it is, when you get, you know, four games in. So, I mean, they played one game. But there is a reason why I thought the Mets, though probably a playoff team, were the third best team in the division. They got some holes.
They do have some issues that we could get to. Jake is calling from Denville, New Jersey. What's up, Jake?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Awesome show. Thanks for taking the call. Sal, I agree with you completely. Cannot overreact to this. Super fired up for yesterday. I was watching the game with my kids. They were into it. A lot of good energy going into this season. Much like you, I was a little bit nervous if it did get to Pete. But the one thing you got to keep in mind, he draws a walk there. You now put the tying run on second base, and that's big because now just a single ties that game. And you know baseball, you can't force it. You got to just take what you're given. So I'd have been happy with the walk there.
That's fine, Jake. Do you think that Soto was forcing the issue there?
No, I don't. I don't.
Me neither. And that's kind of the point.
I think he got fooled by a good slider, and Hader is a stud, and the Astros are good, which is why it shouldn't be an overreaction to this. And the vibes are still high, right? I'm still real excited for this. And to BT's point, I know what you're saying. He's the guy we want there every single time. I mean, that was perfect situation. We wanted him up. However, I'm going to push back a little. You can't say you want that 162 times a year because that means you want to go into the ninth inning down three runs. Like,
well,
I'd like to build some
innings. Yeah.
That would be nice.
You mean it literally.
Not quite literally, Jay. What I really meant was if the Mets have a chance to – you know, for the next 161 games, Juan Soto in the batter's box with a chance to change the outcome. That's what I meant. Clearly, you want more depth from your pitchers and Acuna not airmailing, double play throw. No, I don't mean all that. I just mean it's really more to emphasize what I believe is the greatness of Soto more so than the situation.
You want the game on the line with Juan Soto up more often than not, wherever that may be. Obviously, not down two or three runs in the ninth inning. No, but the point is that's the game. If you have that exact maybe not that exact situation to the caller's point. We don't mean that literally, but with the game on the line, Juan Soto up more often than not, you are going to come out victors in that scenario.
I think you signed up for it before the game.
Right.
I think what's probably going to be most interesting, you know, unless Soto really scuffles for an extended period out of the chute and the Mets don't look particularly crisp in terms of winning games in April, if that happens, then that'll be a big story and we'll react to it. I think what's probably more notable here, because you and I talked about this during the offseason, is the construction of the lineup here where you keep when he passes that baton to Pete, because he's not going to continue to strike out or expand the zone, he's going to let the guy behind him get a chance to do some damage. How does Pete respond? And if Pete doesn't respond well, is there now a flippage, whether it's a Nimmo, whether it's a Vientos moving up? I mean, those are season-long stories with the Mets, but Juan Soto striking out? Listen, Yankee fans, I get it. I'm not even telling you not to do it. I don't do it because that's not how I'm wired. Get your jabs in, shoot your text, have your fun with the GIFs and the memes. Go for it. I don't care. That's just not necessarily me. But as Yankee fan to Yankee fan, we know that probably starting tonight, Juan Soto is going to absolutely blister one, and we're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's Juan Soto.
Perfectly said. And by the way, before we break, and we'll get back to the calls here, Evan did text just saying, you know, because we were referencing him before on the Rico Bronya podcast, going nuts about it, I guess.
Yep.
He said he was upset in the moment, which is understandable.
Which is fine.
I mean, you know, we watched it, too. I wish it was a different result, but I wasn't upset to the point where I was going to get angry, certainly, at Juan Soto. But anyway, Evan said he was upset in the moment, certainly not worried. He was especially upset because the Yankee fans are tough to deal with, which I got a taste of that.
Yeah.
But I just, see, it was tougher to deal with when I couldn't believe in the Mets, when I didn't think the Mets were good. Now I don't really care because I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good over here.
Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean.
You can talk your trash. Yeah. You can pump up your team. Yeah. I'm perfectly satisfied with where the team that I grew up rooting for is at as an organization, and I am more than happy to watch Juan Soto every day as a New York Met.
Two quick ones. Read me the first line again from Evan's text there. This is our buddy Evan.
Upset in the moment, certainly not worried.
Stop. Upset in the moment. Not exactly true, Ev, unless you... hold on, let me take that back. When did he record the pod? When was that Rico done? Last night or right after the game?
I'm not sure. Right after the game, we went up.
Okay, I got you. So I take that back. So boom, right? I was going to say if it was later on in the night, 5 hours Evan, after the fact.
Evan is the Juan Soto of podcasting. Guy's a freaking machine.
No, he really is. I just want to make sure.
He actually signed it before I got there.
He did. I exonerated my bad app number two. And what did he say about the Yankee fans there? What was the second part?
He said, so upset in the moment, certainly not worried, especially, well, then the next text was, especially because the Yankee fans are tough to deal with.
Okay.
That's why he was upset.
Yeah, but he works with somebody who talks about big bro, little bro every day, and Yankee fans are Yankee fans are tough to deal with.
I didn't see
that. That's why I ignore all this, nonsense. I
gotta go check Loogie's Twitter. What was positive? Positive Tommy spinning yesterday.
How about them dudes?
BT and Sal, the fan will come back, more your calls. We'll get to the Yankee side of things as well. This is fun talking some baseball here after opening day. Stinks that there's no Yankee game tonight. I mean, the Mets we can nestle into.
And the Mets are on Apple, right? So I'm sure there's some Mets fans who are already going to find it.
Apple tonight. And it's a Friday night.
I'll be watching.
A little bit.
Nice crisp win by the Yankees.
Yeah.
A lot of things I wanted to see that I did see positively so far.
If that is a harbinger for this Yankees team, that one game, then I think it's going to be a fun season in the Bronx because it's all about... We talked about it yesterday. For me, it's about the young guys being the biggest key, and two of them yesterday with Wells and Volpe. I mean, look, it's Yankee Stadium, so you can knock the wall scrapers, if you will, or certainly Volpe. I felt confident in Wells, and that's why I think he's going to hit a lot of home runs because the ballpark's a part of it. He hits the ball hard. He pulls the ball, so you're going to get a lot of home runs. Volpe's ball, we were both there in the stadium for that. I think everybody in the ballpark thought it was a pop-up can of corn in right field. Next thing you know, it goes out.
Yep.
But either way, those two guys with the power, good starting pitching from Carlos Rodon, who maybe he has turned a corner, BT. We're now not just a year removed. We're now a year plus removed from his awful time with the Yankees in his first year. He had a solid year last year. He seems to have loosened up a little bit, smiling and laughing after the game yesterday. Devin Williams, even though it was a little shaky, still got the job done, didn't blow it, cool, calm demeanor. If that was a harbinger for the Yankees, I think it's going to be a good season for them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the situation with Wells, to me, is the most encouraging. Yeah, listen, you love Volpe getting some confidence as well, going yard, scraping the seats, the wall doesn't matter, it's a home run. But with Wells, and I remember seeing this last year, and I don't know if I really backed this up with stats, but just watching him every night, I'm like, man, I love this kid's swing. You know that. I love his presence. He's become a real defensive asset, but he seems to miss a lot of high fastballs, right? And what pitch did he hit in the seats? That was a high fastball, letter high. And I was watching the postgame stuff on Yes, and Aaron Judge was asked about that because Wells went down to Tampa in January and was working with Wells. And one of the things that Wells really emphasized was getting on top of, because it's hard to do it, getting on top of the high fastball. And again, if yesterday's a harbinger of things to come with him handling that high heat, I think he's going to have a terrific year. I think he's going to be really good. The Volpe stuff is what it is. It's a small sample, but it's a good start. I thought Jazz looked very good at second base. And how about the bullpen? 3 2/3 innings of solid baseball. So all in all, I mean, listen, the Brewers aren't a great team, but it doesn't matter. You get a win, and now you get to see Max Fried after a day off today. And it's always better starting with a win rather than a loss. Pretty crisp win for the Yankees. I liked it.
And it's exactly what the Yankees do. It may not be sexy all the time. These current Yankees, may not be sexy all the time. Maybe shaky at times, but still they find a way to win some games. All right, let's get to some Midday Madness here with you, BT. We'll do it on the phones. BT and Sal, brought to you by Boost Mobile. Lou is calling from Atlantic Highlands, New Jersey. Wants to join the Madness and talk about Soto. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. Soto is undeniably Soto is undeniably the best hitter in baseball. But I think he's gonna find a big difference hitting
in front of Pete rather than Judge. I mean, listen, he had his best year with Judge behind him. Now he's had other really good years, and there's a reason why he's thought to be what he is. I get it. I do think there's going to be a little droppage. I think the park is a little bigger in city. I think he's going to have a really, really, really good year. But we'll see. I mean, it's an early read on the Judge stuff. And I don't know if that's why he expanded his zone. But Alonso is not Judge. And he never had Judge behind him in the past outside of a year ago. And he never put up a season like he did a year ago.
Yeah, I think it's he's had monster seasons.
Not
before.
Like last year.
Yeah, he's had monster seasons.
But
before.
Not like last year.
Juan Soto has always been a great player.
Not like last year. I agree. He's always been a really good player. But he's never put up the numbers he put up last year. It's a fact. He's never put him up like that.
I think Juan Soto. Well, yeah, I mean, he also played in Yankee Stadium. That's a part of it. So you're talking about the career high home runs.
I hit a lot the other way. Did he deviate from that?
Did he have career highs in everything last year?
I was close. I know he had the 40 home runs. Well, what? Well, think about this.
Juan Soto won a World
Series.
He won a World Series. Was Aaron Judge a part of that? No, he wasn't, because Aaron Judge is ringless.
No, I understand that.
Okay, well,
but the Padres also got better when Soto left.
There is a thought, because there is a thought, I'm not saying you do this, but there is a thought that Aaron Judge makes Juan Soto who he is. And that thought is as idiotic of a thought as anybody could possibly have. Now, you'd also be an idiot to not think that somebody would benefit from hitting in front of Aaron Judge. No, it's not the point.
That's my point.
The point is, well, then it's a foolish point.
When his numbers were better, how is that a wrong statement? Pull the numbers up, Sal.
Yeah.
And look at what he did with Judge behind him.
Okay.
Cool. And look at what he did without Judge behind him.
Right.
In his career.
Okay, I'm going to bring it up right here. Let's see.
I already know him, so I'm not even going to punch it up.
Right. His career best, right, home runs for him was a career best. Outside of that, he has had a season with more RBI. He has had a season with a better average, multiple seasons with a better batting average. Let's see.
Don't count the, I mean, you can if you want, but the 2020, I'm just saying, the 2020 season when he went bonkers, the short season, the COVID year. Uh-huh.
He hit, let's see.
What about the year when he hit 246? And again, I'm not here to disparage Soto.
Right.
Soto's amazing.
Well,
but the fact that, the thought that he didn't benefit from Judge's presence to me is ludicrous. Now, it's up to him to dispel that this year. And he might.
Dispel what? The year before with the Padres, the year before with the San Diego Padres, 35-109, 132 walks.
I get it.
He hit 275.
Okay.
His OPS was 930. Last year.
40.
Yeah, 41 homers.
So he had more home runs.
Okay.
For one. Keep going.
He had six more home runs.
But one
holy,
for one.
The fact crap. Hit. What a difference.
Oh, keep going.
The same amount of RBI.
What's the OPS?
The OPS was 989 compared to 930.
And when did he have the ninth?
He walked a fewer times.
Okay.
He hit 275 the year before versus 288 last year.
What was his OPS last year? OPS plus, pardon me.
OPS plus was...
The numbers slightly, as you're looking it up, I don't mean to jump on it, but the numbers...
155 versus 178.
178 when?
155 with the Padres, and 178 with the Yankees last year.
178 as an OPS plus.
Okay, in 2021, he had a 175 OPS plus.
But he didn't have 40 home runs.
Oh, you know, he had 29 that year with 95.
11 fewer than he had with Judge behind him.
In 2019, he had 34 home runs and 110 RBI.
Not 40.
He hit 282.
Sal, he's great.
BT, look, listen.
He was a little better with Judge behind him.
He had a career high in home runs with Aaron Judge hitting behind him. Juan Soto has been the same Juan Soto before Aaron Judge existed. So,
that's slightly debatable because the numbers suggest that he was better last year. Not every number.
I'm confused by the, are we saying that the home run numbers are better? Because that I agree. Yes. He had a career high in home runs. And that could also be attributed to playing in Yankee Stadium as well.
What did he hit last year? What was his average again?
35 home runs.
No, not the home runs, the batting average.
275.
275.
Yeah. He's a career 285 hitter. He hit 288
last year. But what did he hit the year before that?
He hit 242.
Okay.
Wait, hold on.
I'm not even going to use that to jade my argument, because that's not Juan Soto.
Can I just come in here? This is what I'm going to tell you. So he had career highs in runs, career highs in hits, and career highs in home runs. Take away 2020 as nothing because that does not count.
Right.
Yep.
He had career highs in 2019 and 2021 in batting average, OPS. Those were higher in 2019 and 2021 than they were last year.
Right. But if you were to go through and...
RBIs were more in 2019. Doubles were more in 2019.
But if you were to go through and come up with almost like a... And you can't really do it. Like an average, I mean, I guess you can with OPS plus if you want to.
On base percentage was higher in 2021 at .465. So, yes, he had three stats that were higher last year.
Yeah, but three of the most important stats.
I thought home runs don't mean a lot because Pete Alonso is just a slugger, and that doesn't mean a lot. So if you were comparing just home runs, then it doesn't. Home runs mean a lot, but if you take everything in 2019 and 2021, he was a better player. He was a .313 hitter. He had an OPS of .999. He had 29 home runs, 95 RBIs, walked the most ever in his career at .145. On base percentage of .465. That's better than .419.
Yeah, but I've also heard two of the stats where they were better then. Listen, that's fine.
But they were all better.
That's fine.
Yeah, but it's to me, it's not about the numbers. Like, if you look at what Soto did the year before with the Padres, 35, 109, similar walks, 132 to 129,
yep.
And the batting average is 13 points apart. It's almost identical.
But it's not with the OPS plus, Sal. It's like 15 or 20 points higher here last year with Judge.
Okay, but that's 1 year.
No, I understand
that. He has had higher OPS plus.
I think once he had a higher OPS plus.
Well, that was.
And he's never had more home runs.
Okay, I know, but you're isolating two stats. Are you trying to tell me that Juan Soto was a product of Aaron Judge?
Did you hear me say that once?
Well, I'm asking you.
The answer is no.
That's all that I'm saying.
Well, I agree with that.
So then we agree. Okay, so then what's the point? Juan Soto was not a product of Aaron Judge.
But I don't think that there's anything wrong to say that certain players benefit by playing with other players.
Well,
by the way, Sal, if Soto was behind Judge, I don't know how much better Judge could do, but I would think over the course of Judge's career, if he had somebody like Soto behind him, he'd probably be incrementally better. Just like when Jordan found Pippen, Magic found Kareem, you're going to be better. That's not a knock.
I'm fine with that. Same way that we both want Bellinger in front of Judge because we think it would benefit Bellinger.
Said the same thing.
But I think it's different because Juan Soto is not Bellinger. Juan Soto on his own has proven to be a star offensive player. Would he benefit from Judge behind him? I think Ted Williams, Mickey Mantle, Ted Williams, and Willie Mays.
Anybody like Ruth? Yeah, I probably agree with that too.
So that's all my point.
But there's, I got you. And this is not to minimize him.
Right.
I think he's going to be a beast. And if you guys just tuned in, I don't think it's a big deal that he struck out. He's going to be Juan Soto.
You may not be trying to minimize him, but the caller was. The caller called up, and his intention was to say, I think Soto without Judge behind him. And I just want to make it very clear, and I think we are both on the same page with this. You could say some of the numbers were inflated with Judge behind him. We'll see what happens for the next 10 to 15 years with Juan Soto without Aaron Judge behind him. But there is a track record without Aaron Judge behind him.
That's why I got $800 million, by the way. I get it.
That's the point. That's all. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. We'll continue with the calls. 888-808-1019. Just getting started on this Friday morning on the Fan.